Most preachers have to guard their sermons so that they don't offend anyone. I'm not here to offend anyone. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says, and this will not work unless we all are committed to one another. This is not about you. It's about Him and us coming together as the body of Christ to glorify Him. How can we move forward if we don't apply and practice what He's written? See, it does no good to read the Word of God if you're not practicing the Word of God. And as a disciple, you practice the Word of God in the flesh until you come to the end of yourself. And then when that born-again conversion experience happens, then you practice the righteousness of God through the righteousness of God by the power of God that's invested in you in the Holy Spirit. As obedient children, where are those at today? Huh? You see, the same thing is happening in our physical world that's happening in the spiritual world. We somehow think the Father is there for us instead of us children there for Him. Same thing physically. Somehow our world has now decided that when you have children, that you are for the children. No, you had the children for your pleasure. But yet we reverse that in our society, so why spiritually would that not be the same? Because when we're practicing that in the physical realm, that somehow we think that we're here for our children. No, we had children for us, for our pleasure. So they're in under our realm. They're under our obedience to do what we tell them to do. But you see parents going all over the place, doing everything they can do to make their children happy. This world is not going to make you happy. Religion is not going to make you happy. And if you don't physically teach your children obedience and discipline them, then they'll never come under the discipline of the Lord. And that is your responsibility as a parent. You are not their friend. You are their parent. And there ought to be discipline when they disobey. And hopefully you're a parent that is under the discipline of Jesus Christ, so that they can see that they are being raised under the hand of God and not just some tyrant parent. There is a method to discipline. God has a method to discipline. He disciplines those that He loves. Why? To keep you on the narrow road. Everything is not okay. Every action that we see is not okay. When your children turn on the TV and they see people rioting because they didn't like a decision that was made by our government, you need to tell your children that this is wrong, this is not right. You have no right to destroy someone else's property because you're mad about something. As obedient children, that means you don't get to question the Father. You don't get to question God. You have no right to say to the potter, why did you make me this way? I can make from the same lump of clay a child of wrath or a child of blessing. From the same lump. That's my sovereignty. We don't get to ask the Father. We're just supposed to be obedient to Him. That's, if you think you just got saved, and that's it, and you're going to heaven, and that's it. Boy, you have been deceived in the fact that there's a lordship that comes with this and a responsibility to obedience. Matter of fact, we read in Sunday school, and you missed this. I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's that important. The passage of scripture that we read says that I will love you if you're obedient, and the Father will love you if you're obedient to my commandments. See, that blanket love was a blanket love for the world. But when it comes personal, see, when it becomes personal, then he requires a lordship. And if you don't keep his commandments, He doesn't love you. I didn't write that. Just like Jesus said, don't complain to me. You complain to the Father, okay? He wrote that. Matter of fact, it's amazing when you come across somebody and you tell them a truth in Scripture, and they say, well, I didn't know that was in there. Well, what that tells me is you haven't read it through. You have to read it from the beginning to the end. You can't just pick a favorite book and read it. You can't pick a favorite study guide and read it. You're going to miss it. You've got to read it from Genesis to Revelation. It defines itself. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the marrow. It cuts to the heart. It reveals the things that we don't know. You got to read it all. If he meant for you to just read part of it, then why did he write it all? Why did he preserve his word written by the Holy Spirit if you're only supposed to read part of it? He expects you to read every word of it. And if you don't read every word of it in the Spirit, in the help of the Spirit, you'll miss it. You won't have it. You won't get it. You can't get it. Therefore, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If it is not revealed to you, you don't have it. If God did not reveal this to you, you do not have it. If you did not get revealed by the Holy Spirit through the reading of the Scriptures, you do not have it. It can't be told to you. You can't have the desire. Oh yes, you can go through the motions. We're good at going through motions. We were taught since this tall how to act like Christians. Well, stop acting like a Christian. Become a child of God. Acting's for Hollywood. That's what's wrong with the world. They see Christians. They're acting like Christians. But there's no change in the nature. And they have the same immorality in their lives. They have the same pride and arrogance in their lives. But we're better than you. We've been saved. We've been baptized. Well, I'm glad. But you're going to die and go to hell. Because you've not been born again. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. See, we're born ignorant. Did you know that? We are born ignorant. Huh? Chris, when you were born a veterinarian? Did you already know how to do everything? You're ignorant, weren't you? To anything that was veterinary medicine, right? Peyton, you're accounting, right? You born just all of a sudden knew how to do the numbers and everything? How'd you learn that? Went to school, didn't you? You put some effort in there and you learned. See, people don't understand that this discipleship takes effort. We have to put a lot of effort in this. But it's only God who reveals himself to us that it matters. But it's in our ignorance. See, we're not ignorant. You can't be ignorant anymore. If you're ignorant, it's your own fault now. You know why? Because he wrote this. There's a call upon humanity. Now, you can answer the religious call, or you can listen to the quiet whisper of God and say, I mean, when you don't test every spirit, you're putting yourself in a very sticky situation, and it's got eternal consequences when you don't test every spirit. Please test my spirit. I ask you to test my spirit. But see, it's easier to just go to a different church. It's easier just to listen to some other theologian or somebody that's supposed to know it all. I just don't want you to be tossed away with wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you sit there and tell him, like, well, man, I went to Sunday school when there was nothing else going on, or I went to church when I didn't have anything better going on, when the sports, I mean, really, the worship didn't mean that much to me, but, you know, God, you can't send me there, because, boy, I always showed up when I didn't have anything else to do. Even though I never prepared for worship, but by George, you can't throw me into the outer darkness. Boy, you know what? I used to do some really nice things. You know, I really had a good heart. I really tried to help people. You can't throw me out to the outer darkness where there's wailing, gnashing of teeth. You're not allowed to do that. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because he doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit in you. So there's no excuse for your ignorance. You can't go to God and say, well, I didn't know. Because he wrote it. It's in there. I know we play this stupid game all the time in the real world. Look how many times we use COVID as an excuse for everything. Huh? Huh? I got drunk last night. Why? Because it was COVID. Well, my tractor broke down. It was because of COVID. I mean, we can't use ignorance as an excuse anymore. Wow, this here is where it gets really kind of touchy. But like the Holy One who called you, in other words, if you've not been called by God, you're not a child of God. Okay? I don't care what religion you belong to. I don't care how many vacation Bible schools you went to and then finally raised your hand with all the other little children because everybody else was doing it. And why wouldn't you want to go to heaven? Sounds like a lot better place to me than hell. I mean, worms never die, and the heat, the thirsting. And, I mean, that doesn't sound very good, does it? But man, I'd like to live in that mansion, the streets of gold. I mean, come on. What? Who wouldn't want that over the other? And that's when you present it that way, that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Because it's written, you shall be holy. Oh, wait, let's go back up. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also. So, if you're born dead in your trespasses of sin, and you have a wicked heart from birth, how can you be holy? I think we have a problem now, don't we? Don't we have a problem? So if I go do all these deeds that church tells me to do, does that make me holy? So good deeds make me holy. Oh, wrong. What made Jesus Christ holy? What made him different than all of us? His Father was God. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So his nature was given to him, even though it was in the flesh. Flesh begets flesh. That's all you can be is flesh. So it's impossible for you to be holy. But he just told you to be holy. And where people mostly get their frustration is that they try to be holy, but they don't have the nature to be holy. The only thing that makes me holy is not my actions, but it's the new birth experience that impregnates me with the Holy Spirit. And now this temple that you see before you is holy, not based on my actions, but based on who I am, based on who God has made me. Now, he didn't stop there. Sometimes I wish, God sometimes just writes too much. Have y'all noticed that? Sometimes he just goes too far, and I don't know why he does that. Yeah, I do know why he does that. And the rest of that end in all of your behavior. So see, once you become holy, then at some point this flesh must magnify that holiness. Do you hear what I said? How's that? What does that look like? What does that look like? Okay? It's making decisions based on God's righteousness. So I was proud of my son-in-law and daughter this week. Their soccer team, they were looking for a coach. And so they had found a coach. And the coach decided they would have practices on Sunday mornings. Somebody stood up and said, no, that's not, no, we're not doing that. So now they didn't have a coach. I'm not doing this to pat him on the back, but I'm telling you that a decision was made, a righteous decision was made, that we're not doing it. That's our worship time, and nothing's interfering with our worship time. So no, you can't be the coach. So Nat left the team without a coach. So he became the coach. So sometimes it requires us actions. And if we're willing to stand on that and it leads a void, then it may be us to fill in. And now he has an opportunity as the coach to stand up. Now when they play games on Sunday morning, I don't know what you're going to do. You put yourself in a tremendous dilemma. Are you not going to show up and you're going to forfeit the game and the parents be mad at you? Are you going to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter to God? I'm telling you, it does matter to God. We take this so frivolously that we think that it doesn't matter to God. When he tells you to be holy and in your action to be holy, and he says to keep this as a holy day, and you're going to carry on just like it was any other day. Wow, boy, you thought it was fun. It's going to be funner now. See, sometimes when we do what Scripture tells us to do, it puts us in some pretty serious predicaments. See, there's not many other people going to care whether they played on Sunday or not, or practiced on Sunday or not. It's just another day. Because they don't realize the wrath of God to come. They don't understand that eternity is final. See, we think we have built up God's love so much that we've forgotten how holy he is. And he's more holy than he is loving.